I want to start this morning in Luke chapter 19. Had a few thoughts beginning here in this chapter, and we'll see where the Lord maybe takes us with that. But I've got a couple of places I just want to look at briefly this morning. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. I looked up the name Zacchaeus, just curious to see what it meant, and it actually meant pure, clean, and just. Thought that was interesting. Had never looked that up before. But this man, Zacchaeus, the Bible says that he was a rich man. He had plenty of money. He had plenty of goods. He had plenty of resources at his disposal. And he says he was the chief among the publicans, which would make him a tax collector. In other words, he would be a leader or supervisor in our modern day IRS division. He was in charge of people that collected taxes from the common people in his day in Jerusalem. And so you can only imagine how this man Zacchaeus, he may not have had a lot of friends. I mean, I don't know. Bible doesn't really say. But I know tax collectors. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever worked for the IRS or not, but the IRS, most of us don't really hold them up as one of our favorite groups of people to think about, because it's always associated with tax time and the tax burdens that we owe. And they can sometimes be a little bit overbearing in their methods of collecting taxes. And so, I mean, I just don't think of the IRS as one of my favorite groups very often. I can imagine how Zacchaeus may not have had that many friends, but be that as it may, it said that in verse 3, this man Zacchaeus said that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. The press just means a crowd, a huge crowd and a throng of people that followed Jesus around wherever he went, because of his popularity among mostly the common people and people that knew something about him and people that looked up to him. And he always had a crowd around him. But this man, Zacchaeus, as word had gotten out that Jesus had entered into the town of Jericho and he was going to be passing through Jericho, this man, Zacchaeus, had a desire to see Jesus. Now, that's always a good thing. I hope you and I always have a desire in our hearts that we might see Jesus as often as we can. But he had a great desire. If we notice some things about Zacchaeus, the man had a great desire to see Jesus. And it says that he sought, and he actively pursued, and he actively put forth some energy and some effort into making sure that he could see Jesus. Now, I would say that's always good. And I would always hope that you and I could be described as people who somebody could recognize that we have a desire to see Jesus. We have a desire to see him high and lifted up and to serve him, to follow him, and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. I hope people could see that about you and I. But Zacchaeus wanted to see him, but he said that he had a problem, and he knew that it was going to be difficult for him to see Jesus, as Jesus and his throng of onlookers and people around him, as he moved through the town, the crowd and the press would be so great. It said that the man Zacchaeus was of little stature. In other words, he was not very tall, and he knew it's going to be a problem for him to actually see Jesus when he arrived. So I love what he did. Look at verse 4. Zacchaeus ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, how about that for a man? You know, if you're not careful, you'll just read over this very quickly. Haven't all of us heard of Zacchaeus before? I mean, if you've had any Bible training at all, raised up as from a a young age, I've always remember hearing about Zacchaeus because he's the man that climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus. And he's the only one that ever did that, far as I know. But it kind of stuck in my mind. And so Zacchaeus has always been someone I've heard about, but I never really stopped and thought about it in much detail until just the other day. I was looking at this and I said, you know, that's pretty commendable of the man Zacchaeus to do what he did. He recognized that he was not very tall, and he recognized ahead of time that there's going to be a crowd of people around Jesus, but he also had a great desire to see him. He just wanted to see him. And he says, I'm going to have a plan, and I'm going to climb up this tree where I can see Jesus. And he says, he went up the sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. Do you know what the best way for you or I or any person or child of God to ever see Jesus is? It's to always make sure you're going to be where he's at. You ever thought about that? Always make sure that you arrange yourself where you're going to be where Jesus is going to be. That's what Zacchaeus did. He knew the path that he's going to be coming down, and he picked out a tree to climb so he could get up above the crowd high enough to see the object of his desire. He wanted to see this man, Jesus, because he had obviously heard much about him. He could not have done a better thing than to think ahead of time, where's Jesus going to be? Because I want to make sure I'm there. I want to place myself where Jesus is going to be. Do you know that's something that if I could, I would always want to encourage you, beloved, is to always consider and look ahead in your life every day and every week and month and year in your life. Always look ahead and consider, where's Jesus going to be? Because I want to make sure I'm there, I'm nearby. That's always very commendable to do that. You know why some people never see Jesus? It's because they're never where he's going to be. Now, I know Jesus is the Lord. He's God. He's the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And God can be in every place at the same time and nowhere absent. I understand that. But I'm talking about there's places in life where Jesus is especially going to be. I believe this morning, beloved, that we're in one of them right now, right at this very moment. We're in the Lord's house. Remember, last weekend, we talked in great detail about the Lord's house and it being the place that God has hallowed. He's placed his name, his eyes, his heart there, and he's placed his honor here in this place. I can promise you and assure you God is going to be in this place. When he's placed all those good things about himself, in other words, God has staked his entire reputation on his house. He's hallowed. He has made this place sacred ground, if you will, because he's planning to be here. You know where's a good place for you and I to always be? It's where Jesus is going to be. This is one of them right here. I'm so thankful you're here today. I'm thankful for the faithful attendance of the families of Anger Church and this blessed, precious church family. Thankful for every one of you. When Jesus came walking by in the press and in the crowd, the people thronging him and probably tugging at him and trying to get next to him, people wanting to see him, wanting to touch him. He comes along and it says that Jesus came to the place and he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. It doesn't say that anyone told Jesus what his name was. It says Jesus looked up in the tree and he called the man's name out and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down because today I must abide at thy house. I wonder how Zacchaeus thought, how he felt when he heard those words. The Bible tells us that he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. You know, there's Zacchaeus. Now, here's a case of a man that heard Jesus was going to be passing through a particular area, and he wanted to see him. He had a commendable desire to see Jesus. He climbed up in the tree. Jesus walks by, and he just quickly looks up and sees him, calls him out by name. Remember, Zacchaeus means pure and clean and just. He calls him out by name, and he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I must abide at thy house today." How about that? Jesus says, "I'm going to abide at your house." I would have been overjoyed if I would have been Zacchaeus. And I feel sure that he was. Could it not be said this morning that good things happen to people who seek Jesus? Couldn't you say that? Couldn't we say that together as a church family this morning? Has that not been your experience in life? Has it not happened to you personally? Have you not known people or have family or friends that you could say, you know what? When you seek Jesus, isn't it funny how good things seem to happen quite often? I'd say so, and it's true. It's been my experience in life. I hope it's yours also. Good things happen when you seek him. He says, "Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house today." I just wonder sometimes, I try to put myself right there in the page, and I try to put myself in Zacchaeus' shoes and think if that was me, and if, what would happen if the Lord were to walk up and he were to say, "I must abide at thy house today." I wonder if my home would be ready to receive the Lord Jesus for a visit. How about your homes? How about our lives together this morning collectively and individually in our homes? Would our homes be ready to receive the Lord Jesus for a little visit this afternoon if he were to walk by and say, "I must abide at your house today"? Would we be ready for a visit? I hope so. I hope it could be said about all of us that our homes are more than ready. They're always ready to receive the Lord Jesus as a visitor. Wouldn't that be something if the Lord would come directly into our home and sit down for a visit? That's what happened to Zacchaeus, the man who climbed the sycamore tree, because he sought the Lord. He wanted to see him, and he made an effort to see him. He said he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. And this is the people that saw this happening. They murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. They're talking about Zacchaeus being a publican, being a tax collector. And the people said, "Well, he's a sinner." They said, "Jesus is gone." They marveled at the fact Jesus says he's going to be the guest of a man that's a sinner. What other kind of man could he have visited besides a sinner? It wouldn't have mattered who he went, whose home he went into. He'd be going into the home of a sinner, would he not? You see the faultiness of the attitude that the people had? You see that? They considered Zacchaeus being a publican as a great sinful man. Look at that rich man. He's probably become rich because he's stolen a lot of money from the people. He's a sinful man, and there's Jesus going in his home to have a visit with him. Going with a sinner. Isn't that ironic? You see the problem with the attitudes of so many people? They're ready to cast a stone, and they're ready to judge other people and make accusations against other people, and they can't see the forest for the trees. There's no other type of individual he could have visited that would not have been a sinner. All of humanity would fall into that category. He said he's going to be guest with a man that's a sinner. And it says in verse 8 that Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Listen at what Zacchaeus tells the Lord. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That's right out of the Old Testament law about if you've taken or wronged someone, that you're going to pay them back four times as much as you took from them or the wrong that you did. And Zacchaeus says, he tells the Lord that, I'll tell you, I believe that that's coming from Zacchaeus' heart. I don't think this is something Zacchaeus just made up at the last minute to tell the Lord, I'm going to do this. I think these are things that Zacchaeus regularly did. I believe Zacchaeus is a child of God. I believe that's the reason the Lord went to his home, is because he was a child of God. His name means clean and just and pure. And yeah, I know he was a tax collector, but it was a job. He's just doing his job. And I believe he probably did it honestly. Well, he's telling the Lord. He says, I give half of my goods, I give to the poor. He says, I'm a generous person. I believe he did. I believe Zacchaeus did that. And he says that if I've taken anything, if I made a mistake, I pay them back four times as the law requires. I think he did that. I think he was an honest tax collector. But look what Jesus says. Jesus in verse 9, he says, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Well, being a son of Abraham is just a euphemism for being a child of God. You see that? I believe the reason Jesus came to his home is because he was already a child of God. He didn't come to bring eternal life to him. That's not what Jesus said. He came to bring salvation to his house, a saving. You know, we talk about there's a great difference between sonship and discipleship, and there is. There's a great difference between eternal life that God gives, and God is the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the author and giver of eternal life. But there's also salvation to be had. There's a now salvation for the children of God to enjoy right now in this world in which we live. In our families, each and every day, there's a salvation to be enjoyed. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham. He says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that true? Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. You know what the Lord Jesus came to save, don't you? He came to save little lambs. He came to save the sheep. Never once did Jesus say, I came to this world to save some goats. He never said that. He came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I believe here's one of them right here. He says, Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house today. He's bringing salvation to this man's house. Here's a saving here by the Lord Jesus being in his home and visiting with him. I'm quite sure they probably shared a meal together. Isn't that a beautiful picture, though? You know, the thing that stands out to me, though, about Zacchaeus is that he made the effort to see Jesus. And my goodness, did it pay dividends. What a day that man had because of the effort he made to see Jesus. I hope that's been your experience in life. It has sure been mine. I hope that we're encouraged by that. Let's turn a couple chapters back to Luke chapter 8, and let's look at two other people quickly who sought Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. Here's a man named Jairus. There came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he besought him that he would come unto his house. He only had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. She was sick. She had some type of illness. Don't you just love the little details that Luke puts into his gospel? I love the writers that the Holy Spirit chose to pin down these words of the apostles and the Lord Jesus and to describe what has happened in their own words by virtue and by the help of the Holy Ghost inspiring these writers. I love the little details that he puts in. He says this man Jairus said he had people under him. He was a ruler of the synagogue. So he was a man of some importance. And it said that the little detail I loved is it said that he only had one daughter and she was 12 years old. Isn't it something touching just about the beginning of this story to hear that he has one daughter? and how young she is. She's 12 years old. Which one of us here this morning wouldn't, our heart wouldn't just be poured out to try to help a little 12-year-old daughter that somebody had and was sick or had a need in some kind of way? Just the fact that she's 12 years old, just that alone, wouldn't you want to help them? How touching is that, that Luke just gives us those little details? But he has his daughter, and she's sick, and she lays a dying. She was gravely ill, and I believe Jay Iverson and his family knew it. But what does he do? Where does he go? What help does he seek? He seeks the Lord Jesus. He comes to the right place. He comes to Jesus. And it said, as he went to him, it said the people thronged him. There was a huge crowd there. I'm going to jump ahead here. I'm going to skip over the part about the woman that in the middle of the story about Jairus in verse 43, the Holy Spirit kind of stops and interjects a little story about another woman. I'm going to come back to her. But let's look on past, and I'm just going to tell you that if you look on down in verse 49, Jairus has come looking for help, and Jesus and the people begin walking toward Jairus' home. Jesus is going to help Jairus' daughter, and they're walking that way. Now, they had the other part that's going to happen with the woman that was sick. I'll talk about her in a minute. But it says that while they're walking and while he yet spake in verse 49, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. It's too late now. Things have escalated to the point where she's passed away. It's no longer possible for the master to help us. No need to bother him now because it's too late. Oh yeah, we understood that while she was sick, it was still time. Maybe he could save her. That's why we came. But now it's too late. She's already passed away. Don't trouble the master any further. We might as well turn and go back home. It's just simply too late. I tell you, there's some things they didn't quite understand about our Lord, did they? You think it's some things that some of God's little children today may not understand about our Lord? I think it is. I think it's some things that you and I sometimes might forget about our Lord and the things he's able to do. The power that he has. The power that's in his voice. They had never seen anyone raised from the dead again. I guess they didn't have the creativity of mind to be able to imagine, well, maybe it's not too late. Let's get him to come on to the house anyway. They said, no, it's too late. No need to trouble him anymore. What did Jesus say? When Jesus heard it, he answered them and he said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not. You ever have any times in your life when you just need to hear those words from the Savior in your ears? Fear not. You need to have him tell you to fear not. I have. I've had some times in my life where I needed to hear those words, and I believe I heard them through an ear of faith. Fear not. Jesus says, just fear not. Don't have any fear. Stop worrying. I'll tell you what, beloved, I believe we're entering into a time in the history of this world where we're going to need to remind each other pretty often what Jesus said, fear not. I don't care what you see. I don't care what I see and what I've heard and what looks to be happening. Jesus, remember what he said? Fear not. Fear not, little flock. We have a Savior that can take care of the situation. And he's able to handle it. And he may handle it in a way you and I have never seen. Fear not. Jesus said, just believe, and she shall be made whole. And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And I trust you know the story. You know what happened. Everybody was weeping there. Everybody was weeping and bewailed her. And they thought that all was lost. It's just too late. This little precious 12-year-old daughter is gone. She's been sick and she's died. And Jesus walks in and he says, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Beloved, we're living in a world right now. We've got people living all around us in this world right now. They're laughing Jesus to scorn every day about various things. Pay no attention to those mockers. There's a lot of mockers in the world that are laughing at Jesus to scorn because they don't believe him. They don't believe he's the eternal Son of God. They don't believe he's the Savior. There's plenty like that. But he says, "Weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth." He put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. There's a man that came to Jesus, Jairus. Did not good things happen when he came to Jesus? How many times in the scriptures when somebody comes to Jesus do good things happen? When they seek him. I hope you're a seeker this morning. I read sometimes I see church websites and they like to put on there on the front page, seeker friendly service. I hope that's our case. I hope we could say the same about us. I hope we're a bunch of seekers this morning. Did you not come to the Lord's house today seeking to see him? Did you want to come and just catch a little glimpse of him one more time, high and lifted up? You want to see the veil pull back and maybe see a little glimpse of your Lord and Savior once more? I did. I'm a seeker. I hope you're a seeker. I hope our services are always seeker friendly. He came to Jesus and he got help, did he? I think he got much more than he bargained for. How about this other lady, though? There's a lady that's sick. She has an issue of blood. And it said she's had it 12 years. There's a woman has an issue of blood for 12 years. She's been sick. And it says that she spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. And in Mark's gospel, it says that not only did she spend all that she had, she spent her entire living with physicians trying to get healed of this blood disease, but it says in Mark's gospel that it grew worse. Not only was it not healed, but it even got worse. And now she's broke. She spent all of her money. She's pretty much hopeless. She's at the end of her rope. I'm sure she doesn't know where to turn. But look what she is doing in the scriptures. Look what the scriptures say about this woman that was sick. Here's another person that began to seek Jesus. You remember the story about her? She came through the press. All the people crowded around Jesus and thronging him as he walked through the city. She came through the press and she pushed her way through. Can you see her pushing people aside, trying to weave and to go through people so she can get closer and closer and closer to him? She had something in mind she wanted to do. She wanted to touch his garment. She said in her mind and in her heart, she says, "If I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed." Talk about someone seeking Jesus. Talk about someone that made the effort. Went out in the middle of the crowd and began to push and to shove and to make her way closer and closer to her Lord. And she says, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." And she came up and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Immediately she knew she was healed. It was just as if she had said she touched his garment and was healed. She touched the hem of his garment. Immediately, all that the physicians could not do was cured and was overruled. And it was, she's healed of that terrible issue that she had had for 12 years. Jesus immediately turned around and he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And of course, the people around him they looked at him incredulously and said, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this crowd. Look at the people, of the mob that's around you and pushing and shoving, and you're asking, who touched me?" And Jesus realized that virtue had gone out of him. He said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Virtue is good. Virtue is something that is good and precious and worthwhile. Jesus says, "Something, a part of me went out of me. Virtue went out. And I felt it and I perceive it and I know it." He said, "Who touched me?" Now, you're not going to ever fool me for 1 minute and not make me think he didn't really know who touched him. I believe Jesus knew exactly who touched him. But he's just asking the question publicly out loud, "Who touched me?" And it says, "When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." She said, "It was me. I came and I reached out and I touched your garment." And Jesus looked at her and he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I say good things happen to those people who seek Jesus. You see the pattern starting to emerge and develop in the Bible? Every single person who seeks Jesus without fail gets a blessing. Is that not your case this morning? Could it not be said that that is the case of all the Lord's little children everywhere in this world? When we seek Him, the more that we seek Him, the more our lives are blessed. That's a corollary, isn't it? Isn't that true? The more that we seek Him. I love the pattern going on here. I want to show you one more real quick. There's three right there we just looked at. Look at this last one, though, in Luke chapter 5. Let's turn back three chapters. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. "It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." I want to be in a place like that. I want to be in a place where the power of the Lord is there. I want to be in the Lord's house as often as I can. Look what it says in verse 18. "Behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy." A palsy is like some sort of a paralysis of part of the body. You ever heard of Bell's palsy? Some of you have. I had a friend in high school had Bell's palsy, and he had one half of his face was paralyzed for a little while. I don't think it's anything permanent. I think it always goes away eventually, but it's called Bell's palsy. It's like a paralysis. This man had a palsy of some type, and he's bedridden. He's in his bed. He can't get out. But he has friends that brought him. Now, Jesus is in a house, and the house is jam-packed full. You can't fit another person inside of there. And you got all these people want to see Jesus, and all these people that are curious. And you even have Pharisees, the doctors of the law, they're sitting in there, and they're always trying to listen at something he's saying. They want to catch him in a trap. They want to trip him up for something that he says. They're always looking for the wrong reasons. They want to be around Jesus. They like to have him arrested. They don't want to see him prosper and to do good. But the house is full of people. And these people, they bring this man in, and they sought a means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. I don't know about you, brethren, but I would love to have some friends that thought enough of me to do that. I'm sick in my bed, and I have a palsy, and I'm paralyzed. I can't get out of my bed. And I have some friends that said, "He needs Jesus. He needs to see Jesus. Let's bring him there. And they pick up his bed. He has four friends. They pick up his bed and away they go. Jesus is in this house. Let's bring this man in here. And they get over there and it says in verse 19, when they could not find by which way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. It says that they took their friend in his bed, they climbed upon the rooftop of the house where Jesus was at, and they tore the roof open. They started taking the roof apart. They tore a hole in the roof, and they got some rope or cords, and they let this man down in his bed in front of Jesus. I think about all the reasons that's ever kept me out of church before, kept me from worshiping. I came up with some lame excuses when I was young. I'll tell you, I did. I am not proud of it. I think about all the things in life that if you and I are not careful will interfere with us seeking Jesus and being in the place where Jesus is going to be. So much interferes with that. And look at these men. Look at these friends. Who would have ever thought about taking the roof off and let their friend down on the bed right in front of Jesus? Talk about innovation. Talk about drive and having their minds made up. Talk about seeking Jesus. I love this story. Can you imagine being in a building and Jesus is there and all of a sudden you hear a racket and you hear moving around? You know, we hear squirrels in here sometime. You hear bumping going on and all of a sudden the roof, there's a little hole opens up in the roof and then it gets bigger. And then a good sized hole is opened up and there's the sky. And Jesus is probably still talking. He's probably still preaching. And all of a sudden this bed starts coming down in the middle of this crowd. That's the kind of friends I'd like to have. I'd like to have people that devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ and love him that much. Don't you love this story? How determined they are. How innovative. What an effort to seek Jesus. It says that when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He didn't say he was healed right then. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then, of course, the scribes and Pharisees, they began to reason and they began to say, who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who is it that can forgive sins but God alone? And they were saying all this inside their own heart. They were not speaking this out loud. They were thinking in their heart, what in the world? What kind of a man thinks he can forgive sins except for God? Of course, Jesus knows our thoughts. Don't ever forget, Jesus knows our every thought. He always does. He knew their thoughts and he perceived their thoughts. And he says, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And it says that every person there were amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Here's another case where somebody sought Jesus. Did not something good happen to him? Every single person that sought to be in the presence of Jesus, every single person who learned that he was in that house and made the effort, I want to be where Jesus is at, got to see this and got to experience this, got to see that man being let down, and then ultimately Jesus telling him, take up your bed and get up and walk out of here. They got to see it. I say the pattern's pretty clear. over and over and over and over in the scriptures, every person that seeks Jesus receives a blessing. In fact, I could say this honestly this morning. I have never seen that to not be true in my life. I have never seen it, not one time, and I have zero expectations that I ever will see it. Could I be an encouragement to you this morning and encourage you to always seek Jesus? Let's be Jesus seekers. Let's be seekers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's place ourselves where He's going to be. I'll tell you one place He's going to be. It's going to be in His house that He's hallowed. He's going to always show up in His house that He's hallowed when His people come to worship Him. He's always here. I hope you come like I do. I just want to see Him high and lifted up again. I want to see my Savior. I want to see the man that took upon Him all of my sins and allowed Himself to be nailed to that tree that He might pay my sin debt, that He might taste of death in my place. And He did it. That's the Savior that you and I have, beloved. Isn't He a sweet Savior? Isn't He a good Savior to you this morning? Aren't you glad that He enjoys it when you seek Him and you come to find Him, you come to be in the same place He's going to be? Your lives will always be better. You'll be blessed and your lives will prosper more the more you seek Him and the more you commit to being in the place where Jesus is going to be as often as you can. I'll make that promise to you this morning. May the Lord bless and keep each one of you.